Turn your Bible this morning to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And verse number 5. This morning in Sunday school, we were talking about the godly seed, both in the adult class and all the other Sunday school classes. But in the New Testament, we have a verse that gives us an insight into that concept of a godly seed. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee." When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. It's very interesting that the faith of Timothy was called the unfeigned faith. He said it was the faith of his grandmother, Lois. It was the faith of his mother, Eunice. And that it was a description of the faith of Timothy. And I think as we look at this passage of Scripture, we look at this word, we have a word that is the key to this principle of a godly seed, of a godly family, of a godly church. It is so important that a church stand for what is right. It is important that a family produce a godly seed. But it is also important that a church be a godly church. You know, we have a double fold phenomenon taking place today in Christianity. One is that this unhypocritical faith is becoming a rarity. Number two, that same faith is becoming a rarity in churches. And what I mean by that is that in many, many places, the leader of a church or the leadership of a church stands for godliness, but the people don't. Now, I realize it's a problem when it's the other way around, too. But it is a problem today that there is a rare thing in which the people of a church have convictions, in which the people of the church have standards in their home. And the people of the church are living the life that's being preached. The church is to be the candlestick. The church is to be the light. It didn't say that the leadership or the pastor is supposed to be the light. They ought to be. And sad, they can be dim, and it's a great disgrace. But you know, there is a need that the kind of faith that the Bible is talking about in Timothy not only be found in families, but it be found in the churches, in the families, in the people of the church. You know, the attitude today is, well, I have my religion. I know what the Bible says. I go to church. I go to hear the Bible. But the way I live, that's up to me. And it is the reason there is such a small godly seed in the world today. This phrase here, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which is in thy mother Lois, thy mother Eunice, and I persuaded in thee also. The word unfeigned really in common words means consistent. Means consistent. It's the phrase unhypocritical. It means there is a consistency between what is said, what is so-called believed, and what is lived. That's what it's saying. Consistency between what is said, what is believed, and what is lived. That's pretty important. We say we believe in Jesus Christ. We say we believe the Bible. We say we're followers of Jesus Christ and God's Word. That's what we proclaim. But do we live it? Do we live it? And that's really what it's saying. He says, it wasn't something they just said. I remember illustration in the world about this. Never forget, as a young man working for my father, doing repair work, carpentry work. We're working at this house. And his work was mainly on the lakes around Oconomowoc. That's where rich people lived, and that's where the people who could afford to hire a carpenter. And so one day we're working on this house, and, you know, rich lady on Oconomowoc Lake, I don't know, we were putting a new window in and it was in the dining room, you know, whatever. I don't remember the details. But I remember this. The lady was in the dining room and she was clearing out the liquor cabinet. And she looked at my dad and she said, I'm clearing out the liquor cabinet because the pastor is coming over tonight. Now, she didn't fit in what the Bible is talking about. She didn't fit into the category of an unhypocritical faith. She professed to be one thing, and I'm sure she was a great church member, and obviously important in the church, but in reality, she lived somewhere else. Now, let's put it a different way. You know, most of you come here for a reason. And you know, praise the Lord for, I mean, just coming here is a statement. Just coming here, being here, is a statement. And I know it's a statement. But yet, sometimes it doesn't always click. You know, we want the pastor to preach against sin. And we want our kids to know what is right so that they turn out right for God. But we don't want the same standard in our home. We want the pastor to preach against the wickedness of Hollywood and compromise and all those things, but we don't want to follow that exactly in our own home. You know, if there's something comes up and we want to watch that, well, we're going to watch it. Paul describes the faith that works. He says it was the unhypocritical faith. His grandmother, his mother, and Timothy. You know, consistency is something that all of us have to keep working on all the time. And inconsistency is the death of Bible Christianity. Remember, a number of years ago, Dr. Cummins was at Camp Joy, and he was preaching at a men's camp, men's retreat. And he was talking about the fact that he was at a camp one time. He was at a camp, he had a personal friend that said, you know, my children are having a tough time. They are just plain rebellious. And I'm really praying that they'll get right with God at this camp out. And so Brother Cummins took these two boys under his wings and befriended them. And he was preaching messages that he hoped would touch their heart. And their heart was just hard, and he couldn't break that hard heart. And he went to, and he was talking to these boys, and he said, "Boys, what's wrong?" He said, the boys looked at him and said, "We don't believe any of this. Raised in a Christian home. We don't believe any of this." And Dr. Cummins pursued it. And he found out why. Because one day, they went into their father's office, and he had left the safe open. And they found Playboy magazines. It was over. It was over. It was over. There was a dichotomy between what he had said and what he was living. And as a result, his sons threw out the baby with the washwater. And the Bible tells us that the true Christian faith has a consistency. A consistency. There's a consistency between profession and living. Now, let's look a little bit into Timothy. We know a little bit about his childhood. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. What do we know about his childhood? The Bible says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures." Now the word here for child is not talking about a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old, a 7-year-old, or an 8-year-old. Not talking about a 9-year-old, it's not talking about a 10-year-old, and not talking about an 11-year-old. The word here is brethos, which means infant. An infant. An infant in arms. It's talking about a very, very small child. We would call an infant definitely under 2 years of age. Now, this gives us an insight into the spirit of Timothy's mother. "And from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures." You know, in this rationalistic world we live in, we realize that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. We recognize that understanding is a very important part of believing and understanding and etc. But you know, Timothy's mother was a little bit more radical than that. She's a little bit more radical than that. From the earliest of Timothy's days, his mother read and taught him the scriptures. Doesn't that sound radical? It tells us that obviously one of the most important things in her mind was that the mind and the soul of that child at the earliest of age would be formed by the truth of the living Word of God. You know, we live in a day in which people, they kind of brush off the infancy and the early years of a child. And they think, that's not important. Let me tell you what. It is important. And you know, you might look at me and talk, think of me as a radical. But I tell you what. I believe in a child being in the Lord's house. And I'm not saying this for my sake, but I'm speaking as illustration that I wanted my children as soon as they were born to be in God's house. They weren't going to be sitting at home away from people, away from germs for 3 weeks. They're going to be in God's house. You see, there's a divergence of philosophies, aren't there? Divergence of philosophies. I asked this question. Father, is that your attitude towards the Word of God? That you want your children saturated with God's Word. You want their mind and their life to be affected by the truth of the living Word of God. This tells us the spirit of Christianity. Now, what does that tell us? Now, I'm trying to be nice here. But what does that tell us about a home that the dad doesn't have family devotions? Where is that spirit of giving that child the Word of God? I thank the Lord for my wife. That every day, probably almost every day, those little ones were little, that before they knew the difference between their right hand and their left hand, she would take their little hands and fold them, and they would pray and thank God for that food. I thank the Lord that every night, almost every night before they went to bed, she would read with them. And I remember one time discussion that we had, and my wife said, you know, the child's storybook, that's good, but you know, that's not the Word of God. That's not the Word of God. They need the Word of God. Bible tells us this is the living Word of God. Give them the Bible storybook, but that's not good enough. They need the truth of God's Word. And that needs to get settled deep in their heart at the earliest of age to mold that little soul and mold that mind and to mold that person. Now that sounds a little radical. But you know, if you read exactly what the Scripture says, Timothy's mother was a little bit radical. From a infant, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Now, let's stop right here. Now, stop right here. And I talk to young people. Let me ask you, is there that thing that's in you that says, in God's will, I can't wait to have a Christian family, so I can raise that child for God? Is that in your heart? Hate to be blunt, but if it isn't, you don't have the real thing. You don't have the real thing. You don't have the kind of Christianity that produces the godly seed. Something's wrong. That's what it says about Timothy's mother. The unfeigned faith. There's a spirit there. There's a spirit there. Now, I don't want to talk I'm not just talking to people who are going to have family someday, because some people may not, and some people don't have family. But you know what? That same spirit ought to be seen in any member of this church or any adult. And you know, even if you don't have children, you know, if you have the spirit of New Testament Christianity, you know what? Your desire is to influence anybody and everyone you can with the Word of God. That's what you want to give them. You want to give them the Word of God. I think of one of our dear members. For years, he said, you know, I don't have any children, but I want to give my life so young people can live for God. That's the spirit of the New Testament Christian. It isn't profession. It isn't this show. There's reality. We see that reality in Timothy. The truth of the Word of God. Do you love the truth? Do you love the truth? That's a great, that is the issue. Deuteronomy chapter 4, the people of Israel are going into the land. And what does he say to them? What does he say to them? What is the key? Deuteronomy 4, now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and to the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and to go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. This is verse 6, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I have set before you this day? And you know, folks, you know what he was talking about? The books of Moses. That's what they had. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. Numbers, Deuteronomy. You know what? It's talking about Exodus, the furniture of the tabernacle. It's talking about Leviticus, the offerings that were given to them by God. It talks about all these things that many times we just read them and we try to get by them. And he said, these are the statutes and the judgments the Lord has given you, that you would be a wise nation above all other nations in the world. It's the Word of God. We ought to love the Word of God. We ought to love to study the Bible. We ought to love to obey God's Word. Thou, from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. You know, it's amazing in the beginning of our country, the McGuffey reader was the standard reader up until the later part of the 1800s. And that in the public school, of course, you know the public school was founded for the purpose of indoctrinating the public with the truths of Christianity. It's backfired. And those early readers were full of the Scripture. Now, let's make it right at home, where we really live. How much time do we spend reading the Bible? Five minutes? 10 minutes? Let me ask you, would you read the Bible, young person, if you didn't have to fill out a devotion notebook for school? Would you read the Bible if your parents didn't check up on you and say, did you have your devotions? You know, I think what the Bible is saying here is that unfeigned faith, it was shown in Timothy's mother, and it was shown in their attitude towards the Word of God. That it was the living Word of God. It was powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It was the living Word of God. Jesus said, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Of course, not simply reading the Bible, not simply teaching the child the Bible. That obviously, it's not that that's not the whole story. Is the obedience to God's word. To obey God's word. To obey it. Oh, God, give us a heart to obey His word. God prayed, oh, that there would be a heart in them for His word. How is that transferred? You see, the Christian who wants to obey the word of God, the parent who wants to obey the word of God, they want their children to obey the word of God. Amen? They want their children to obey the word of God. You know, that's it. Obedience. Obedience. Obedience to God's word. Now, you know, we can make a big mistake, dads. We can make a big mistake. The biggest mistake we can make is that we tell our kids to obey us, but we don't obey God. That's the biggest mistake we can make. Now, something that's worse than that is the dad who doesn't make his kids even obey them. Now, that is a real lost cause. That dad needs to repent doublefold. But the biggest mistake we can make, they say, kids, I want you to obey, and I want you to do what the teacher says, and I want you to do what the pastor says, and I want you to follow the rules, and I want you to do right, but not me. Not me. And you know what? We're always preaching at parents, we're always preaching at kids, but you know what, senior citizens? You're important. You're important to this church. You're more important than you know. You know what? Godly churches need senior citizens who say, I don't care what the rest of the senior citizens do. I don't care what the rest of the senior citizens out there think. I am going to live for God. You know, the world has the mentality, you become a senior citizen, now you are exempt from the realities of life. That is not so. You know, you, sad thing, you go to the nursing home, and try not to be too hard on those precious folks, but you know, you go to the nursing home, and I haven't been there for a while, but you know, the saddest thing that I've ever experienced, go to the nursing home, is big screen TV. And all of these senior citizens listening to the trash, the soap operas. Is that how you end your life? That's not how you end your life. That's like saying, I've reached this point where I don't have to do right anymore. Notice in 2 Timothy 3, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, here we see the relationship aspect of Christianity is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. How does that work? How does that work? John chapter 16 and verse 8. How does that work? John chapter 16 verse 8. And when He has come, the Holy Spirit, He will reprove the world of sin. He will reprove the world of sin. You know what the word reprove means? It has the idea of shine a light on something so there's no mistaken identity. I don't know the world and my background, but in my mind, this is it. I don't know if this is from a Sherlock Holmes thing or what. Maybe it's from Camp Joy, one of their pictures they painted. I don't know. But here's the guy sneaking at night, you know, in the bank, you know, trying to crack get the code, you know, the combination, and it's all dark and he's trying to open it, and all of a sudden here's a policeman with one of these big flashlights. Guilty. Caught in the act. No question about it. The light was shown right on. That's what the word convict means. What is it talking about? It's talking about a real relationship with God. A real relationship with God. A real relationship in which you hear the Bible, you read the Bible, you study the Bible, you memorize the Bible, but there's something else that takes place. And you know what it is? The ministry of the Holy Spirit. And those words become more than words. Those words become more than intellectual knowledge. Those words become real truth from God. Irresistible, inescapable. You cannot do but obey. There's a relationship. That's the secret part of this truth here. The unfeigned faith, not intellectual, not a bunch of words, not a bunch of knowledge, not a bunch of whatever. It is a real relationship with God that works. And you hear the truth. And the Spirit of God opens as you hear the truth. It's really the truth. The Spirit of God says, it's the truth. You know it's the truth. And it works in your life. I mean, does it work in your life? I wish I could give some illustrations that would be from somebody else, but, and I wish I was probably as good a Christian as spontaneous a Christian as I was when I first was saved. But I remember reading the Bible for the first time. I don't know what verse it was, but go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I read that verse. And I said, that's for me. That's what every Christian is supposed to do. That's our duty. Okay, Now I know what I'm supposed to live for. But you know, I think, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but I think there's a lot of people who read that verse that say, that's for somebody else. I think there's a lot of people who read that verse and they say, well, that's for people who are called to full-time ministry. I'm exempt. What's missing? You see, the truth can be the truth, but it can have absolutely no bearing on somebody's life. There has to be a relationship to God that makes that truth real, makes it living. It's the truth no matter what. That's the unhypocritical faith. It's not, oh, I saw it, I know that it's there. It's there. You know what? It's there. And you know what? I need to obey it. I need to obey what it says. I think we've become professional pick and chewers. Maybe that's where they got pick and save from. I don't know. But pick and choosers. You know, pick what I want, leave what I want. But where's the Holy Spirit? Where's the Holy Spirit? That relationship with God, that all of a sudden the Word of God is living. It's for me. It's for my life. It's for me to obey it. You know, I wish we'd say that we obeyed everything we saw in the Bible. But you know what? If we don't obey it, but we still have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, we're miserable. Miserable. Because the truth of God and the Spirit of God are the keys to the unfeigned faith. The consistency. The consistency between what we say and what we do. A consistency between what we profess and what we do. A consistency between what we learn and what we do. You know, God wants to get a hold of our hearts. He wants to get a hold of our hearts. It's a lot easier to get saved and then just start obeying one by one what God shows you. But if you don't do that, it becomes like a log jam. It becomes, where do I start? I got all this stuff in me that I know, and I haven't done it. It'd be like a psychological, spiritual nightmare. God's plan is that as we get saved, He shows us a truth, we obey it. We bring that into our life. And He shows us a bunch of other little truths, but then He shows us another big truth. And now, we surrender to that. We bring that into our life. And as time goes on, He shows us another great truth. And another great truth. And we obey them. Just like a child. Teach them step at a time. But you know, it could be pretty tough if you're in a church like this and you hear all this preaching. pretty soon the stack is going to be about this tall. Of stuff you aren't putting into your life. Where do you start? I mean, that's a good question. Because the spirit of Christianity is hear and obey. Hear and obey. Hear and obey. Hear and obey. And as we obey, our senses are exercised to be able to discern both good and evil. There's a growth that comes with it. It's all a part of that spirit of the unfeigned faith. I wonder, do we want to be a godly people? Do we want to be a godly people? Or do we just want to say we go to Mequonago Baptist? And I expect certain people over there to do right, but as far as for me, and I'd say that they probably have a larger percentage of people in this church who want to do right than a lot of churches. But what about you? Let me ask a question. If I stopped preaching, would you still keep living? Would you still keep living right? Or would you be merely the follower of a man? You know, God's plan is the man is only the instrument of the Holy Spirit. It said in 2 Timothy 4, preach the word. Reprove! That's the word convict. Yeah, supposed to preach with conviction. Hit it right down on. But you know what? You're supposed to preach the Bible, and it's supposed to be mixed with the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit isn't there, if the Holy Spirit is there, it's a life changed. Amen? A life changed. And that change will continue and will go on and on and on and on. And you know, a people of conviction are people who start with the Word of God, and the Spirit of God opens their heart, and they keep growing and they keep living, and the Holy Spirit shows them more, and the Holy Spirit shows them more as they study the Bible, and their convictions become stronger. It's because of the Word of God, and it's because of living it, and it's because of hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. But people's convictions dwindle and get less when they stop hearing the Word of God and they stop hearing the Holy Spirit and they stop having the right relationship with God, and all of a sudden, pretty soon, they don't have any convictions. It has nothing to do with the Bible. If we were as close to God as we ought to be, our convictions would be far greater than they are. I'm sure Christians years ago were probably more godly than any of us. But we live in a wicked day. I'm wondering today, the unfeigned faith. What a wonderful thing it is to watch it. What a wonderful thing it is to see it in action. The Word of God making a difference in someone's life. and it's a part of them. It isn't religion. It's a part of them. And that's how they're going to live. Unfeigned faith. We need to ask ourselves that question. Young person, you need to ask yourself that question. You need to deal with reality. Where is the Word of God in your life? And where is the Holy Spirit in your life? When's the last time you heard a message and the Spirit of God says, "That's right"? When's the last time you read your Bible and the Holy Spirit says, "Hey, that's for you"? When's the last time? That's what Christianity is all about. There's not somebody following you around with a 2x4, shaping you up and getting you in line. It's something far more effective than that. The powerful, pure Word of God, mixed with a living relationship with God, the Holy Spirit, working through the truth in an obedient heart. You say, "Pastor, you talked about this log jam. How do I get out of it?" Well, just tell the Lord right today, you're going to stop playing games and you're going to start obeying. You know what that means? That means surrender. That means, okay, we're going to start reading the Bible as a family. Maybe it needs something more basic than that. That means I'm going to read the Bible every day. Not when I get some feeling. No, I'm going to obey God's Word. I'm going to read it every day. I'm going to get rid of that stuff out of my house that I need to get rid of. Just get rid of it. Boy, that's awful humbling. You say, "I don't want to know if I can face my family. They see me humbling myself." Oh, that would be terrible, wouldn't it? That'd be the worst thing you ever want to do. Say, "You know what? I made a big mistake." If you don't want to say that, just do it. Just throw out the TV or something like that. You got the wrong radio station? I don't, you know what? Just do it. There's a lot of things that are more important than that in life. Just do it. And you understand where I'm coming from, because we believe in baptism as a mark of discipleship. And I don't believe in Baptist rituals. I really don't believe in them all. But I thank the Lord. As a young Christian, I read that the Bible says you're supposed to follow Christ 100%. And the mark of following Christ 100% is believer's baptism. And I said, "Okay. That's right." And we can go on, whatever. Young person, when are you going to get your own convictions? When are you going to get your own convictions? When are you going to start saying, "Okay, you know what, I know what the pastor says, now what the Bible says, but you know what, I need to start studying the Bible myself, and I start listening to the Holy Spirit"? And you ought to be listening to the sermons, because they would help you. But you say, "You know what, I know what, I'm going to start going to the Bible, I'm going to start listening to the sermons, and I'm going to start listening for God to speak to my heart and for me to obey it." That's what Christianity is made of. That's not too complicated. It's very simple. It's very simple. And you know what? I hate to be too plain, but you know what? I'm the pastor. I realize I have to be here. But I know I would be in, I would consider myself in bad shape if I didn't want to be at church tonight. There'd be something wrong if I didn't want to hear God's word, amen? There'd be something wrong. There'd be an inconsistency. There'd be lack of that real relationship with God. See, we're not talking about being without sin. We're talking about having the right heart for the Lord. Having the right heart. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight, this morning, and thank you for these simple truths that we have in the Bible. And Lord, I realize that we can't preach anybody into heaven. We really can't preach anybody into doing right. But Lord, we can seek to exhort the simple truth of the Bible. And Lord, it will be a victory today. It will be a victory before you if a young person settles some things with God and say, you know, I need to quit playing games. I need to surrender to the Lord and give my life to live for Him like I ought. And Lord, it would be a victory if even one adult, Lord, would say, you know, I'm not going to get my cue from the old crowd. I'm not going to get my cue from what other people are doing. I am going to be a genuine Christian where the Word of God is the most important thing in my life as a believer, and listening and obeying it and being energized by the Spirit of God. And Lord, it'd be a victory if a young person today would say, you know, I've just been living in intellectualism. And I know all this stuff, but it doesn't do anything. I haven't surrendered it. And the Lord is speaking to your heart about being a real Christian, walking with God, hungering to know the Word of God, hungering to obey it, hungering to hear the Spirit of God and obeying the Lord when He speaks to our hearts. And the Lord is speaking to your heart. What a victory it would be if a dad, if we would just quit playing games and make decisive decisions about what we know we ought to do and quit being indecisive, but allow you to speak to our hearts and allow, Lord, your Spirit to bring us to that place of decision. With heads bowed and eyes closed, the Lord is speaking to your heart. You say, you know what? I want to be a consistent Christian. I want to be a consistent Christian. I want that consistency between what I say and what I do. I want to take care of some of that inconsistencies maybe in your life, in your home, as a leader of your home. And God is speaking to your heart this morning. Say, you know what? There's some inconsistencies that I need to take care of. There's some things that I need to deal with so I can be more Christ-like. There's some inconsistencies that are going to be dealt with God by God's grace. Starting today. How about you today? God is speaking to your heart. I'm going to deal with them. God is dealing with me. Okay, amen. Amen. Others, okay, praise the Lord. Inconsistencies, okay, praise the Lord. God is dealing with you. You know, I don't want just the leadership of this church to stand for truth and stand for holiness. I want to be a person in the pew that says, you know what, that's important to me too. That's important to me. That's the kind of life that I want to live. And I want to stand for truth. God is speaking to your heart. Say, I need to get that real relationship going in my life in which not only do I know the truth and hear it, but I obey it. And God is speaking to your heart today. Okay, others?